Good morning. Let's turn to Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 to 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for this time. Thank you for this word. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. I pray, God, that the Holy Spirit would really move in our hearts and in our lives. We want to open up our hearts to you and give you control so that we would begin to live out the fruit of the Spirit in this life. Thank you, God. Speak to us today. Help us to pray. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The fruit of the Spirit is the result of us living according to the leading of the Holy Spirit. And we could look at it as the evidence of the Spirit of God moving in our lives and working in our lives. The evidence of us following and following the leading of the Holy Spirit. And today we're going to look at the last fruit, which is self-control. Self-control. There is a verse in Proverbs 25:28 that reads like this. A man without self-control is like a city broken into and left without walls. A man without self-control is like a city broken into and left without walls. That's a pretty powerful picture of basically a city that is broken down. No wall, as in anyone can come and attack, and anyone can come and invade this city because this city doesn't have a wall. And if you don't have self-control, you're like that city. So I think that's a pretty vivid picture of the importance of self-control in our lives. I was reminded as I was preparing for this Devo of the... It used to be quite popular on YouTube. I don't know if you have seen this. It's called the marshmallow exercise. And it's basically they put these small children, one by one, into a room, like 3-4-year-old children into a room one by one, and on the table is one marshmallow. And basically the instruction is, hey, if you wait and not eat the marshmallow until I come back, then you're going to get two. And the time is 15 minutes, but the kids don't know. They just have to wait until this instructor comes back. And it's really cute because they're filming the whole thing. The kids don't know they're being filmed, and they're fidgeting, and they're playing with the marshmallow. They're looking at it. And some kids eat it, some kids don't. But it was an experiment that was done many, many years ago. And apparently the children that didn't eat the marshmallow and had the self-control to wait 15 minutes ended up getting a higher SAT score, and something like getting a better job. And by the time I read this article, the children would have been in their 50s, and they wanted to see if they actually were like wealthier, right? did better in life. And self-control is so important. There is we need self-control. If we don't have self-control, it's we're a city broken into, easily broken into, because we don't have any walls. But at the same time, I find self-control to be very, very difficult. I don't know about you, but of all the fruit of the Spirit, self-control, I'm like, oh, that's a hard one. I look at my life and I think, this is definitely an area where I need to grow in. And I think self-control is needed for the rest of the fruit. Love, joy, peace, patience, especially patience, but to be kind, gentleness, faithfulness, goodness, all these things require some measure of self-control for for us to be able to practice these fruit of the Spirit. So there are five areas of self-control that I thought of as I was preparing for this Devo. They all start with the letter T. So let's look at them. And then as we go through the five things, you can consider for yourself, how am I doing in this area of self-control? So number one is tongue. Self-control of our tongue. Guarding our tongue, right? Being mindful of what we're saying and also how we're saying things. There is power in our words. Proverbs 18 verse 21 says, "The tongue has the power of life and death, and those who love it will eat its fruit." James, I don't have the specific reference, but James goes on to say something like, if you can tame your tongue, that's, you've done everything. Like, that's the hardest thing, and if you can tame your tongue, control your tongue, then you have come to the point of maturity. And definitely an area where we need to make a huge effort to control. It's so easy to say certain things. It's so easy to let words slip out of our mouth. So that's the first one, tongue. How is your self-control over your tongue? Number two, self-control over your temper. Temper. Taking a step back when something is upsetting you. Even this morning, I wasn't upset, but I was thinking about this, the elevator was out of service downstairs again, just one of them. And I imagine, like, if I'm in a bad place, maybe these things could also flare up my temper, you know? But temper, why? Reflecting on, why do I get so angry or so upset or so indignant at certain situations? I think all of us probably have certain situations that don't really bother us that much, but certain situations, certain injustices, certain instances where you feel unfair, you just blow up. You know, there's the temper just blows up within you. Proverbs 15, verse 18 says, "A hot-tempered person stirs up conflict, but the one who is patient calms a quarrel." We're encouraged to be self-controlled in terms of our temper, to not get into quarrels very easily. Instead, to forgive, to let things go. And it's another area where we need to consider, how am I in my self-control over my temper? Number three is temptation, self-control over temptation. Self-control is not just about, you know, refraining from eating something late at night or turning off the TV or just controlling our tongue. But sometimes self-control is needed to overcome temptation. Self-control is used many times in scriptures in relation to sexual sin, sexual immorality. There definitely self-control is something that will help us battle against that. But I don't think that's the only temptation. Sexual immorality for sure. But there are other temptations, other addictions that we give ourselves into. And self-control is needed to choose the way out. 1 Corinthians 10:13. No temptation has seized you except what is common to man. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, He will also provide a way out so that you can stand up under it or you can endure the temptation. He will provide a way out. The way out, God provides a way out, but often we don't take the way out and we give into temptation. And self-control is something that we need to take the way out. Sometimes I think deep down in our hearts, we love wickedness and hate righteousness. There's a verse, I think it's Psalm 45. It's a prophetic psalm looking to Jesus, and it says of Jesus, he loved righteousness and hated wickedness, and therefore God anointed him with joy over every other person. He had incredible joy. But it's not true for many of us. For some things, yes, we love righteousness, we hate wickedness, but for some things we still love wickedness and we despise righteousness because our mind has not been renewed. And I think in these instances, exercising self-control is necessary to stop giving in to temptation. We're giving our mind a chance to be renewed. If we keep giving in to the temptation, we're going to fall in love with it more and more. And so self-control over temptation is necessary. Number four is thoughts. Thoughts. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5 says, "We destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God, and we take every thought captive to obey Christ." Right? Paul says, we take our thought captive. It means we control what our mind is doing, where our thoughts are going. We control the kind of thoughts that we entertain, and we control the thoughts that come into our mind, and we make sure that these thoughts fall in obedience to Christ. Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. "Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things." Again, Paul is saying, you have control over the things you think about. Think about things that are worthy of your thoughts. Think about things that are true, honorable, lovely, just, excellent, worthy of praise. Focus. Spend time thinking about those things. I think where our mind dwells on, eventually our behavior will follow. Right? If we dwell on thoughts of anger, or we dwell on a sinful desire and we let our thoughts linger there and just spend a lot of time meditating and thinking about these things, that will eventually affect our behavior, right? Because our mind is constantly focused on these things. Romans 12, verse 2, it says, "Be transformed by the renewal of your mind." So our mind is something that needs to come under self-control, our thoughts, self-control of our thoughts. Last thing is self-control over our time. So the five things is tongue, temper, temptation, thoughts, and time. How we spend our time and our money reveals where our true affections lie, right? We can say all sorts of things about, oh, I love this, or I believe whatever is important. Health is important. Diet is important. I love God. We can say these things, but we have to examine how do we spend our time, how do we spend our money to really reveal what is in our hearts, where our true affections lie. And I'm thinking of things like turning off the TV early. Instead of wasting time on our phone, on our TV, on things that don't have eternal significance, things that don't matter that much. I'm not, there's value in them because it helps us relax, helps us kind of, unwind, and all of those things are good. But sometimes we just spend too much time. I spend too much time doing things that are meaningless, like truly meaningless, and man, it's a waste of time. Psalm 90 verse 12 says, teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Meaning, Lord, teach us to see that our days are short. Our life is short and our time is short. So help, so that, so if we can understand that, then we will gain a heart of wisdom. We will make wise choices with our time because we understand that our time is short. So it's turning away from things that are truly less important and turning to things, using our time to do things that really matter. I mean, it could be different things for different people. Definitely, you know, spending time with God, spending time in the discipline, spending time in the Word. But it could also be sleeping, right? Turning things off early so that you can go to sleep and come to EMP. You know, I feel like some, most of us, you've already exercised self-control to be here. But yeah, self-control over our time. So yeah, let's think about that. Tongue, temper, temptation, thoughts, and time. How are we doing in those areas? And the last thing that we have to talk about is, how do we do it? How do we grow in self-control? I think it's so hard. Surely it can't just be, I'm going to try harder. That's, if you Google how to grow in self-control, you'll see both Christian and non-Christian tips, right? Articles on how to grow in self-control. And, you know, all the non-Christian ones, obviously because they're not going to talk about God, it's all about managing your time, managing your desires, and distracting yourself from the thing that distracts you all the time so that you can choose the right thing. But as I read some Christian articles, I read a Desiring God article, I wanted to just read some of the quotes that I came across from there. It says, for the Christian, true self-control is not about bringing ourselves under our own control, but under the power of Christ. And I think that's so true. Self-control is not just about self-help, you know, learning these tips and tricks to manage our time and manage these desires. But for us, when we talk about self-control, we're not just talking about, okay, I'm going to manage and control, strive to control ourselves, but it's to bring it under the power of Christ. And the true source of our change is Christ, right? The real power that brings us to change. So all the worldly way is to look inward and to try and figure out, you know, what's making you choose certain things and that's bringing it to control. But for us as followers of Christ that want to exercise the self-control that is empowered by God, the true source of that power and change is outward. It's upward. We look to God and we ask the Holy Spirit for help. You know, we say, Holy Spirit, I want to choose the right things, but would you help me? And we have not just an example or inspiration in Jesus, but a true source. Right? I mean, you look at the life of Jesus, he exercised self-control, right? All the time. He exercised self-control against temptation, self-control with his time. He spent time praying in the Lord. I mean, he went up on the cross. He self-control over his desires, over his own comfort to obey God. But Jesus is living in us. He's empowering us to emulate him and follow him. So that's the first key, is our source is God. So we have a greater hope for self-control than just those that don't know him, because we have the true source. And I want to just share three steps. It'll be short. I came across another article because this is something I was struggling with. I'm like, I know self-control is important and I want to be self-controlled, but I don't feel like I'm growing in it. How do I do it? And so I was reading a few different articles, and this one I thought was very helpful. She recognized self-control is a fruit of the Spirit. It's something that the Spirit bears fruit in our lives. And she says, the seed of self-control is already in us. That's the Holy Spirit. The seed of self-control, what brings about self-control ultimately is already in us, which is the Holy Spirit, which makes sense because it's the fruit of the Holy Spirit living in us. But what we need to do is cultivate the soil so that the seed can bear fruit. Cultivate the soil, meaning there are things that we can do in our lives to cultivate our heart, to cultivate our soul, so that the Holy Spirit living in us can actually bear the fruit of self-control. And here are the three things that she listed. Number one is prayer. So simple, but I think it's so true. We have to pray. If our true source of self-control is God and not just ourselves, then we have to turn to God and spend time and ask Him, God, help us. You know, Philippians 4:13, I can do everything through Him who gives me strength. It's His strength. But sometimes we quote the verse, but we never actually go to God for strength. We quote the verse as inspiration for ourselves so that we can work harder instead of actually going to God and saying, God, I need your strength. And prayer is doing that. Prayer is saying, I can't do it, but God, I know that you can, and I know that you want to help me do it. So we go to God in prayer. Number two, she says it's vision. And I thought that was very interesting. She said vision, meaning we need to have a vision of where we're going to get to as we grow in self-control. And I think that vision is going to help us pray as well. Because when we have a vision of, man, where we could be, if you're struggling with your tongue, if you're struggling with your time, what would it look like if you grew in that and you matured in the area of self-control in these different areas? And you have a vision for that, and you can pray for that, and you can work toward it. And the illustration she gave was, imagine buying a bag of seeds from a store. On that little packet, it has pictures, not of the seed, because who cares what the seed looks like? It always has a picture of what the plant will be. Because it's beautiful, it's a beautiful flower or some kind of plant or vegetable. And you have a vision of, man, this little seed can produce this beautiful plant, fruit, vegetable, and so I'm going to do it. And so she was saying, you don't focus just on the seed, but you need to have a vision of where you want to be. So that's the second step. Vision, prayer, vision. And the third step is weeding, taking things away. If you know certain things are going to get you, if you know certain distractions are going to get you, it could be deleting certain apps from your phone, right? If time is your thing, it could be avoiding certain situations if that leads you to temptation. Even if it's a temper situation, I remember with my kids, nighttime, sometimes they're so wild and energetic. And I would often lose my temper because I'm trying to get them to calm down. They're just not calming down. But then I felt like it was the Holy Spirit kind of leading me and saying, you got to change the situation. Like, it's not them. The routine is wrong. So change up the routine so that you don't end up in situations where you lose your temper. And so we did, and it worked for a while, but now they're back to being really wild again. So we have to rechange the routine. But yeah, change the situation. Weed out if you know certain things lead you to, I guess, failure in terms of self-control. Weeding those things so that you can allow for self-control to grow in your life. So prayer, vision, weeding. I think that's helpful, but we always have to remember the source of our self-control is Christ. And yeah, let's go before God. Sterling's going to lead us in a song. So let's just ask the Holy Spirit for help with self-control. Father God, thank you. Thank you for this last fruit. Last fruit of the Holy Spirit, self-control. And perhaps the most difficult. And I just pray, Lord, that you will help us. Lord, I thank you for that word, God, that the true source of our self-control is Jesus. Jesus, you lived a perfect life of self-control, and you are living in us, and you are the one that you desire to help us grow in this area. So we just come before you. If there's anything that we need to confess or repent of, help us to do that at this time, and help us to live in the power of the Holy Spirit, Lord. Thank you.
Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Hallelujah, hallelujah. As any shall be given unto you, seek and ye shall find, knock and the door shall be open unto you. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the love of the Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. And all these things shall be added unto you. Hallelujah, hallelujah. As any shall be given unto you, seek and ye shall find, knock and the door shall be opened unto you. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah.
ask and it shall be given unto you. We ask for growing in self-control, growing in the fruit of the Spirit. Move in our hearts, move in our lives. Thank you, Lord. We humble ourselves before you and we give ourselves to you. Thank you, God. Let's pray together for our church. Let's pray for those who are battling cancer. Let's pray for healing. Let's pray for God to move. And let's pray that there will be breakthrough with these different situations. Hey, could we update Ingrid just to include radiation therapy? Thank you. Ingrid has started her radiation therapy, so we can pray for her specifically for that as well. Let's pray together. Let's go to the next slide. Illness and salvation. Let's pray for those who are ill but also in need of salvation. Let's pray for God's power to come and move in the lives of these individuals. Let's pray for healing and salvation. Let's go to the next slide. Just various infirmities that our church members are battling. Let's pray for healing to come upon our friends. Let's pray for COVID-related prayer requests. Tim's sister Jane has COVID. This is Tim Tang. So let's pray for healing for her. And let's pray for our frontline medical workers that God will protect them and watch over them in this season of COVID. Let's pray. Let's pray for Sterling as he's looking for a job. Let's pray for God's provision and leading and guidance for our brother. Let's go to the Thursday prayer focus for our churches, SP Singapore, SP Indonesia, SP Philippines. Let's pray for P. Sam Kim, P. Salamat, and P. Ernie. Let's pray for fruitful ministry, anointing of the Holy Spirit, for the power of God to move in these churches. Let's pray for our education ministries, SP Kids, SP Youth, and SPU. Pray for Lisa, Donald, and Grace as they lead their ministries. Let's pray for more volunteers. All three ministries, actually, would need volunteers, teachers, and leaders. Let's pray for God to provide, and let's pray for the students to encounter the Lord and really grow in Him. Let's pray. Let's pray for our prayer and healing teams. Intercessor prayer team, IP, with Matt, The Well, Harrison, Christine, and River, Rachel. Let's pray for these ministries. Pray for the leaders. Pray for the team. Let's pray for fruit. Let's pray for healings to take place. Let's pray for the IP team to hear from God very clearly and to pray with conviction and with faith, that there will be a fruit that come out of their prayers. So let's pray for these three ministries. Let's pray for our local outreaches. Let's pray for all the leaders. Let's pray for Tim as he oversees the local outreaches. Let's pray for more volunteers as well for this ministry, and that it'll bear fruit, that the people that they're ministering to would really encounter the love of God through these ministries. Let's pray. pray for our pregnant moms. Let's pray for Taeyeon and Hina, and there's others in our community. Let's pray for protection. Let's pray for safe delivery, and let's pray for just God's covering over our moms and the babies. Is the lunchtime Bible study still on, Sam? No, okay. Let's pray. Thank you, God, for this time. We love you, and we worship you, we praise you, and thank you for being with us. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for loving us and dying for us on the cross and giving us life and relationship with you. Help us to fall deeper in love with you today, God, and live this day for you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Have a great day today.